There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 642. This is your host, Danny. And if my voice is all messed up, it's because I was at the World Baseball Classic game, Dominican Republic versus USA. Man, what a crazy game. That's why my voice is all messed up. And also joining me is Paris.
And if my voice is messed up, it's because I was out drinking at 3 o'clock in the morning and I didn't see no kind of baseball game.
and let's add this. Let's add the whole time change.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. This is going to hurt me today. But, yeah, I mean, if you go by the time change, technically, I didn't go to bed till like 3. So after we're done recording the podcast, I'm gonna look at the back of my eyelids for a little bit.
And P is not joining us for this episode. He'll be joining us hopefully on Thursday's episode.
Hey, because he was in St. Petersburg, Florida, drinking himself.
He's representing Paris over there.
Yeah.
Crazy, man. So what's new, Paris? Anything new? I see that you've been streaming a lot the past few days.
Yes. And on that streaming front, first of all, I have to give a shout out to a couple of people. First off, I was on the Guardian One podcast this week. That's a Destiny podcast. And I'm also a part of, that's the clan that I'm a part of on PlayStation 4 to play Destiny. But I was on their podcast, talk about the Age of Triumph reveal that Destiny had the Twitch stream earlier this week about. So we talked about that. We actually talked a lot about my history getting into podcasting, and they asked me things about like some of my favorite interviews and all that. I talked about GTR. It's just funny because, again, I tell you this all the time, it's funny how much your name came up because how much.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, like I always say, early on, you helped me out a lot, you know, and I was kind of explaining that to those guys, and they're asking me about, you know, do you still get nervous with interviews? And I'm like, absolutely, I still get nervous doing interviews. I always will. But I was like, you just have to realize they're just people. I told them the Bonnie Ross story, how you threw me.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah,
yeah. How you threw me under the bus, and then how the very next year we were talking to Bonnie Ross, and, you know, she was explaining she was just as nervous as I was, and, you know, just all that kind of stuff, man. But those guys are real cool people. And, you know, if you're into Destiny, definitely go check out that podcast. Had a lot of fun doing that. And on the Twitch side, I have to thank them because a few of their members want to help me, you know, with my Twitch channel. And Marsha, got to give a shout out to the Mommy Gamers. She's been a lot of help, you know, as I've been looking up stuff for doing the Twitch channel. And DJ Knight, got to give him a shout out too, because he's been helping me as well. So it's just all that. Oh, plus finally on the streaming thing, I'm pretty sure I'm going to go pick up an Elgato HD 60 Pro. And it's a PCIe slot card that I can put in my PC so I can stream consoles. So I'm going to get that here in the next couple of weeks as well. And then that way, when I'm streaming from PS4 Pro, I can do that, you know, all through the same streaming software I would do on my PC. So it's interesting, man. Again, I'm not going to be like some full-time streamer, big-time streamer or anything, but
part-time.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's just a cool little thing to be able to do. And like I have it now, if you go to my Twitch channel and you see some of the last few streams I've done, you know, I fixed the microphone issues and all that. And, you know, it's getting there. It's definitely getting there. So I'm having fun with it.
That's good, man. Now, quick question. If, let's say in the future you get a Nintendo Switch, do you have devices there that you could connect the Switch to stream through Twitch?
Yeah, that's what that Elgato will be for, because then I can run that into that card. Like I could play the Switch in TV mode and run it into the Elgato card and stream Switch games.
Oh, nice. Do you connect that directly to your TV? That's what it is? Or is connected from...
The HDMI, you know, the HDMI cable that you normally would just plug into your TV, you would plug it into the... You would plug that into the card. And then it has an HDMI out that you could plug back into the TV if you want. So you just do it that way. Nice. Yeah.
All right. Head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag. Listen to our past episodes. And yes, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Oh, I have to say one other thing. There's a certain Ubisoft associate director that also got the same HD Pro card, HD 60 Pro card. And I saw it on Twitter. So I was like, hey, that's great. Let me know what you think about it. His response was, go buy 10 of them and tell 10 other people to go buy 10 of them. So thanks a lot.
Wow.
Thanks a lot, Mr. PR guy.
By the way, so I was investigating to see how can I create a Japanese account through my Nintendo Switch because... You know, the system is region free.
Right.
So I finally made it happen. It's super easy to create an account. So yeah, I went to the Nintendo shop, eShop, the Japanese version, and I downloaded like a couple of demos. I downloaded the Puyo Puyo and Tetris game that's coming out, I believe, next month here in the Americas. It's fun. It's a lot of fun, man. So in the future, maybe we'll get to play like games as comes out first within Japan or maybe demos and I could download it. And the only thing is when I'm playing a demo or a game so far, maybe somebody could tell me if I'm wrong or not. If I play this game online, like because, you know, when you go to your friend list, it'll tell you, OK, so-and-so is playing this game and so on. It said that I was still offline. So I think the only way other people could see that I'm playing online is when I'm playing American games with my American account. But still, I still got to download some demos and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
You know? So Paris, I know PAX East just happened a couple days ago. And there was a lot of talk about the new Mass Effect game, Andromeda. So... How's it been the feedback? I believe the developers had a panel, right? And this, and I think they had the game playable at the event, right?
Yeah. So multiplayer is playable at PAX East this weekend. And some of the developers were on a panel on Twitch's main page. So you can watch the live stream. And like you go on YouTube, you can search it now and you can pull it up. So they talked for about a good... I don't know, I'd say about 45 minutes or an hour. And the thing is this, and you know, I've been kind of waffling back and forth with Mass Effect, you know, the good, the bad, etc. I can say this from the feedback I saw on the multiplayer. A lot of people are saying it plays very fast. Like I said, I didn't really get into the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer. I don't see me getting into this one. So that's not the draw that's going to pull me into Mass Effect Andromeda. But just listen to the developers talk about Mass Effect Andromeda and just the way the class system works now, the fact that they took away, you know, the whole Paragon Renegade thing, just some of the way that the weapons work, obviously just the vastness of these worlds that you're going to be exploring and just the various side quests and even the main quest stuff that'll be happening on all these worlds. I mean, get ready, Danny. It sounds like we got another huge game on our hands.
Oh my God.
You know, that's a
good thing though, because you know, there's a lot of games that have been coming out this past year that it's open world, it's long, like Ghost Recon Wildlands. It's pretty long. It's a really long game, dude, man. Dude. Like if you actually want to do everything, like the side quests, the main story and everything, that's long. Zelda is extremely long. Cause I've been taking my time with that game. And now Mass Effect 2 and Horizon, that's another one. Oh, my God. That's a lot of games, man.
There is a lot to do in games right now. I don't think there's anyone that can say, oh, I don't have a game to play. I don't have anything to do, because dude, just pick one. Pick one, and you're spending a minimum of 50 hours in one of these games right now. It's nuts.
And that's the beautiful part about all this is that it's available for every system. There's something for you. You know, for the PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox, and also Nintendo Switch. So there's something for everyone, man. So there's no way people could be complaining about all these games. But, you know, Paris, people, a lot of them are not. Sometimes I'm not happy, you know. But that's good, man. I think 2017 is starting very, very strong, man. So I hope it continues all the way to the holidays, man, all the way to the end of the year, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see. So I know you're not into the whole multiplayer part of the game, but do you think this is going to be enough for you as a Mass Effect fan?
I mean, at this stage of the game, yeah, I'm going to put my faith into what BioWare is trying to do. And like I said, just from listening to everything the developers are saying, watching some of the, like the IGN first stuff on Mass Effect Andromeda, yeah, I'll invest. I'll go ahead and invest into this. Again, just anyone listening, be prepared to probably drop a minimum of probably 30, 40 hours into this game, though. You know what I mean? It sounds like it's huge just on the exploration of the planets alone. Sounds like there's a lot to do. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the 29th. Like, hey, I don't know when I'm going to have time, or the 21st, I'm sorry, or of March. But I don't know when I have time for all this, but I'll figure it out, I guess. Just add it to the list.
Oh my! So what's next after Mass Effect now? Like, okay, that game comes out, is already out. What is going to be the big, big game after that for
Prey?
That's coming out this year.
Prey.
From
Bethesda. It's pretty sure it's in May.
May.
You know, you know, we also got Persona 5. It's coming out. Mario Kart 8 is coming out on the Switch. I mean, dude, it doesn't stop.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That is true. Mario Kart is a big one, too, man.
Yeah. Oh, which, so, by the way, I held a Switch. I had a Switch in my hand. I've held one.
So you tried out the Joy-Con.
It's everything. Too small.
Too small. Okay, fair enough.
Too small my mutant. Not too small, like, oh, my God, I'm never going to use them. But, dude, those things are so tiny in my hand.
But see, that's a thing that is optional. It's not like, Paris, you need to play this in order to play the Switch. Like, dude, you could also play the Pro Controller, or, you know, if you have both controllers, the Joy-Cons attached to the screen, you could also play like that, or attached to the controller. If you're playing on TV mode, that's good too, man. You know, but which game are you actually playing on the Switch?
I didn't play anything. I just held it. That's it.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you actually, wait, you went to the store or somebody that you know?
No. Well, the pre-order that I got, that I gave to my neighbor, I was over at his house. So I was like, hey, let me hold the Switch. And so I held it.
Nice. It doesn't feel cheap though, right? It feels good.
Yeah.
Like when I played the Wii U, you could tell it felt like very cheap, that controller. So this one, it seems legit, man, you know? So that's good. That's good, man. Speaking about the Switch, Reggie Fils-Aimé had an interview. He had an interview on the Time magazine, and they asked him about, you know, the Joy-Con issues that's been going on, and a couple of issues too. I think he says that based on feedback from the fans, that's when they're going to start doing more investigation about this, about the Joy-Con issues and everything, that especially the left side of the controller is not connecting to the Switch and so on. So he said that they need to get more feedback from the fans, and they're going to investigate a lot more, and then they're going to continue to see what's going to be like the next step. And the same thing with the Switch dock scratching the tablet screen, same exact thing. And he also mentioned during the interview that, you know, they've been on tour in different cities promoting the Switch, and they haven't had any issues like that the device has been getting scratched throughout the events and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they're investigating more, but they will love to get more feedback from the community and everything. And, you know, this is a very early launch, which I could tell, man, like, yeah, you know, the system is not 100% ready, which I it's okay. You know, we all going to learn from that, you know, especially Nintendo. But I think I'm more concerned more about the Joy-Con issues more than the scratch, the tablet getting scratched, because that's more of a human error, probably, in my opinion. But the Joy-Con syncing issues, that's more of like, Nintendo, come on. You guys messed up big time with that, man, you know? So what are your thoughts about that, Paris? I mean, at least Nintendo, I didn't like their first response a couple days ago, that it made it seem like they were blaming the gamer, the owner of the Switch, instead of themselves. But now at least they're listening to the audience, man, about all these issues, man.
Well, yeah, again, they better listen to their audience, or, you know, this has the potential of really blowing up in their face down the road, and they'd have to have a revision of the Joy-Cons to try and revise, you know, resolve this issue. I don't know. This reminds me a lot of Apple with the iPhone 4 and antenna gate, where Steve Jobs said, "You're holding it wrong," kind of thing. And I just think there's a lot of hoopla about it now, but eventually it'll pass, I think.
Yeah, I think that when they're doing like the whole testing, like when a company is like releasing a new product, they're testing it, you know, privately and everything. It's different when you send millions and millions of devices to the consumers, man. It's totally different, man. That's when you're gonna learn more about the situation. If there's more mistakes, if it's people scratching, like, look, especially this device, when you buy this console for like a kid, and they're the ones putting it to the dock and taking it out, dropping it, it's different, man. You know, I can see why this could get scratched if it's someone young or somebody is not going to rush, you know, putting it inside of the dock and everything, man. So have you tried that out, Paris, or you only just held the controller?
I probably held the Switch for like 2 minutes. I mean, it wasn't any long thing. Yeah, I've not even seen the dock or any of that stuff in person yet. It was just okay. The Switch itself. But again, it's like I was saying, I mean, I think this whole thing will blow over. You know, I don't think it's a game-breaking issue where every time you drop a Switch into a dock, it's scratching it or whatever. I mean, anything, if you abuse it, is going to break. And I think these are probably just worst-case scenarios more than anything.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here, Gamer Tag Radio. I had to take a little break with Paris, but I have here my brother, Nano. What's up, Nano?
What's going on?
And we're going to talk about Zelda. So my question to you, because a lot of people have been asking me this, and a lot of listeners have been hitting us up. They want to know, is Zelda, the new Zelda game for the Nintendo Switch and also for the Wii U, is it overrated?
No. It's one of those games that, you know, there's so much hype behind it. And like leading into the game, you know, it was just, man, is it going to live up to that hype? And as I'm playing it, I'm not even that far into it. I'm only like, you know, 6-7 hours into the game, and I can't put it down. It's by far one of my top three Zelda games of all time. I can even say it's better than the 64 Ocarina of Time. And I haven't even played through half of the game yet. So it's just, it's one of those games that like, it lives up to the hype. It's worth you purchasing a new Nintendo Switch for, if you could find one. And it's probably one of my favorite games in the past like 3 years.
So a lot of people are going to be asking that, like, why is it better than Ocarina of Time? Because that's honestly that, and also Link to the Past, that's one of my top favorite Zelda games. This one tops that, in my opinion. And I think it's because of the design, open world, new puzzles. The map is huge, and I feel that every time you walk around, you always discover something, man, something in the game, you know. And it's very, very challenging too. Like, I haven't even gone to the dungeons. I'm only right now focusing on side quests because I'm trying to get a lot of hearts so I could get the Master Sword. But the shrines, dude, the shrines, it's a game changer with the shrines, man.
It adds way more complexity to the game. And the fact that, you know, there's always something new in every part that you travel to. And it's not a game where you could walk into it and, you know, it's ABC, you know, you follow the story, it's done. This game kind of gives you the story, but it doesn't really give you any sense of direction. It just kind of tells you that's where to go, get there, you know, like it just drops you off in this world, which is a huge map. Like I've never, like, imagine Ocarina of Time times about 50, because that map looks tiny compared to this one. And just the art direction, the music, you know, everything is just right about this game. It feels like a classic Zelda game mixed into like the new generation that you've been waiting for.
And the thing that I like about most about this game, you could be anywhere in the map, anywhere, north, south, but you're always going to see that where Ganon is at. And it's like, my goal is to be there. My goal is to be there. But I always, dude, every time I'm climbing mountains and I'm always looking that area like, I'm going to be there soon, man. You better watch your back.
I want no part of that. Not even close. I don't think I'm going to beat Ganon. Even if I collected everything, I don't think I'll beat him until I have every single item on this game.
Why you say that? You could beat it. Yeah. You don't have to complete 100%.
This is like one of those few times where like I usually kind of blow through games and I go through, you know, I get it done as fast as possible. Or sometimes I overlook the story just because like the multiplayer is so fun. But like this game, it doesn't have multiplayer. But it's just one of those games where like you won't feel complete until you do everything, until you get every piece of armor, every weapon, every, you know, possible like recipe. Like I stay hours sometimes cooking food, and like I try and get different recipes and like try and cook up new, you know, what goes with what to get me a better like food material to like, so I can replenish my hearts more. Like just that aspect alone, adding that into a Zelda game is amazing.
And what are your thoughts about like the controls and also boss battles? I know you probably beaten a couple, right?
Yeah, I beat one boss, which I probably shouldn't have even gone there because I was super weak and it took me like 2 days to get through it. But I learned, you know, obviously I rushed it and I progressed too far into the story without really preparing myself. I went to GameStop and the guy at GameStop, he showed me his game. And it's like this Zelda game is one of those games where like, you know, 10 people can have the game. They get started the same day. And, you know, 2 days later, everybody has a different story. Everybody has a different save file. They're not even close to the same because it gives you that sense of freedom where you can do whatever you want and nobody's going to have the same experience.
Like us, we've been texting each other, calling each other to see where we're at. And we both have totally different experience. Like there was something that I discovered.
I didn't even know.
And you didn't even know about it.
Yeah, no, like it's one of those games where you can play with your friend and, you know, share experiences, but like he's going to have such a different story to tell because he, you know, this game kind of just lets you roam wherever you want. There's no barriers. You know, if you want to go to the town all the way on the west side of the map, you know, just strap on your boots and walk for a really long time. You could do that.
Well, I got horses too. I have a couple horses.
I haven't caught a freaking horse yet.
That's another thing too. It's just, I heard this.
There's a legendary
horse, but where is that at?
The guy in GameStop actually, he showed me the horse is about 10 times bigger than any of the horses on the map.
So how you get up in that?
I don't know. You're supposed to catch him. He has like unlimited stamina. The horse is literally the size of a truck. He towers over every other horse, and he shows me the photo, and I'm laughing. I'm like, yo, is that a real game? And he's like, yeah, this is my game. And I'm looking at him like, dude, I don't even know where to get that. And he was, you know, I didn't want him to tell me. I kind of want to figure it out myself. But there's so much to do in this game and so many secrets that this is probably the best Zelda game out in the past, I don't want, like 10 years. And it's totally worth it, man. Like, I don't think it's overhyped at all. I think it got just the right amount of hype pre-game. And like after the game came out, all the praise that it gets, it's duly, you know, just, it's well-deserved.
I think personally, I will put up this game with The Witcher, the last Witcher game. It's up. I think it's one of the best games that I played of this generation. Like hands down, for sure.
It sucks to like give a game a crown so early, but this is probably game of the year. I'm gonna go ahead and say it. This is,
I think so too, man. I don't know what, so far,
yeah. I honestly don't know what else is lined up to be released, but to be a launch title on a new system, and you're carrying that system. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing out for the Switch. In all reality, like, you know, $300 for a new system is a lot of money, and especially for one that you don't know if it's gonna have longevity or, you know, that replay value of you know, the PlayStation or Xbox One. But this system holds up to it. It's a portable Zelda game. You know, like, what more can you ask for? It's nothing like a 3DS game. It's not like you're playing on your, you know, your handheld. This is like a new experience, and it's by far one of the best games I've played.
Period. I think so too. But a lot of listeners are gonna say, "But I play Zelda. It seems like I'm walking around the open world. There's not enough enemies." Like, a lot of people might compare it to like Grand Theft Auto. You walk around, there's a lot of environments, a lot of people walking around, there's a lot of cars and stuff. But to me, that's not Zelda. Zelda wasn't designed to be that way. It was designed like this. Yes, you go to different areas, you'll find like villains and some enemies here and there and stuff. But that Zelda always been that way. Why are they going to change it to make it like a Grand Theft Auto type environment? You know, yeah. Which I think that's not Zelda, in my opinion.
No, there's the amount of enemies, like, you know, sometimes you'll run for a while and won't really find anything. But that's just because you're searching for goblins or whoever the hell you want to fight. It's in this game, you have wildlife running around, you know, birds, foxes. You know, you'll find a boar every now and then, and you have to kill those animals just to like have food so you can cook it later. There's so many intricate like little details they added to this game to keep you busy, so you won't miss, you know, the fighting. Or if you know that's one of your big things with Zelda, you want to fight a lot of enemies. Go out hunting, go collect food, go collect horses, collect all the shrines. You know, there's so much added into this game that, like, you can't complain about not fighting a lot of enemies.
But let's talk about the weather. How is the weather treating you in the game? Because let me tell you, I remember climbing some mountains, and then I noticed it started to rain. Okay, got a little dark, and then it was lightning. I haven't had that. Oh, my God. Let me just tell you, when you see lightning, just be prepared. Make sure to be somewhere safe, because you could get killed easily.
What did happen to me with I got a little bit of rain, and it was like impossible to like climb up a wall. I basically had to like wait it out. But the worst thing was the blood moon. I never experienced it.
Oh wait, for those that don't know about the blood moon, explain. Oh, yeah.
The blood moon is you know, without really spoiling anything for the game, it's a moment in the game where the moon turns red and enemies just pop up galore. Like you have to find shelter or just get ready to waste all your arrows and all your swords, because you're gonna fight a slew of enemies. Like, it's an army that comes after you. And you know, for those situations, people that complain about not fighting a lot of people, you're gonna have fun on that part, because I die every time. Yeah. I have to run for safety. I basically just teleport out of wherever I'm at, because I can't do it. And that's another thing, like, I find myself most of the time running out of weapons because I fight too many enemies. So like it all depends on how you play, you know. Like, some people go around collecting weapons, getting ready for the blood moon, because that's just like that part of the game is added to add more difficulty, I guess. But it's just, I could do without it, honestly. Like, I hate the blood moon. I've gotten it twice already, and it's
a disaster. But this one thing too that I like about the game too is that I think one of the quests is I have to take a blue flame to like a certain area, to like a certain spot. So I ran out of branches. So I had to go to the woods and just blow up a bunch of, like, chop a bunch of trees. And then eventually I got some like branch for me to carry. Because eventually, remember, you burn. I don't have a torch.
Yeah, fine.
That's the thing. I don't have a torch. So I had to do that. And I mean, I finished the quest. But that's the thing I like about the game. It's just the freedom. You can do whatever the hell you want in a game. And like you said, everybody's going to have a different experience, you know? So,
yeah, no, I traveled, you know, I started the game off and I didn't do like the little things that you should have done. in the beginning. But like I said, there's no direction in the game. It kind of just like sets you in this world and you have to go figure it out. And I didn't get like a certain tunic, like a warm doublet where it would keep you warm in cold temperatures. And I would go to this mountain, which is it's like a snowy cliff mountain. And I'm running around and Link's freezing. And I'm like, how the hell do you stay warm? Like, who beats this?
That's happened to me too.
And this is early in the game. So I have no hearts. I have no food. I'm running. I'm just freezing my ass off. And
we didn't have the right clothes for the weather.
Exactly. I didn't have the right clothes. But then I speak to other people and they look at me like, man, you didn't get it? It was over here. And I'm like, dude, how the hell did you even find that? Yeah. But it's just, there's little things that you have to figure out. And you make your own game. You know, like this is, for every 100 people that play this game, there's going to be 100 new stories. And 100 experiences, and that's the kind of game that I appreciate at the end of the day. You know, like, this Zelda game is different from the others because everybody that played Ocarina of Time or any of the other classic Zelda games all have the same story. They all figured out the same puzzle, did it the same pattern in the same way.
In the same experience.
Exactly. They all have the same story to tell. This one, you know, I know, like, 5 or 7 people that have this game, and not one person has told me the same thing. They're in a completely different part of the story than I am, and it just that adds like a level of excitement.
Like we have a friend, Bam Beats. He's playing Zelda now, and this is his first Zelda, but he hasn't played Zelda since Nintendo 64, right?
Probably Bam's first game that he's purchased, you know, aside from Street Fighter and FIFA,
yeah.
And Madden. I think he only plays those three titles.
And Metal Gear
comes out what, once every like 6 years, like. Aside from those like titles, Bam doesn't play anything. Yeah. And the fact that he bought a Switch to play Zelda and can't put it down speaks volumes. Like,
oh, but wait. He hasn't even done the quest. He is just collecting recipes, which is that's all he's been doing.
Bam is a professional chef in the game. I looked at his game file, and I open it up, and he's like, "Oh, check out my food." He has like 7 pages of just food that he's cooked up, and I don't know where he gets it from. He has one for heat resistance, cold resistance, anything you could think of. He's made it.
And there's a reason why he's doing that, because he told you what? He told you what?
The
reason why he's doing it, because he wants to be prepared for, like, the bosses and stuff. Right?
But you see, like, he's preparing for bosses. Me, I kind of just, like, I jump in, and I'm just like, oh, crap. Yeah. I need to get the hell out of here. Yeah. But Bam, like, people get ready for it in different ways. And Bam's, like, he's going around trying to collect every piece of armor, every weapon, you know, every food recipe. And he's trying to, Bam's one of those like really, you know, he nitpicks at games and he can't find anything wrong with this game. Like, he wanted to hate it and he wanted to hate on the Switch, but he hasn't been able to put it down.
Because all he's been playing is just like PlayStation games and like typical, you know, FIFA, Grand Theft Auto, stuff like that.
Bam hasn't bought any type of video game, like literally since the last Metal Gear. Like, you know, like he doesn't buy games. And like the fact that he went out, bought Zelda, got the Switch on launch day. Come on, like, that's a lot, you know? And, like, I know people, you know, I'm saying Bam, and you're like, who the hell is that?
Yeah, so it's a good friend of ours. He used to edit our show way back when I started JTR back in 2005.
Yeah, you'll probably hear his voice on, like, on episodes 1 through 5, like, somewhere around there. But, you know, like, the fact that he's so into this game, it just shows you, like, this Zelda game transcends, like, that barrier of, you know, you have to be a huge Zelda fan to play this. It's one of those games that, like, you know, my 6-year-old son, he'll be 6 next week, but he's playing the game, and you know, I help him because he doesn't read at that level yet, but he's playing the game and he's getting far enough where he's almost catching up to me, and I'm like, oh, you know, crap, I got to start playing. Like, if this kid catches up to me, that's embarrassing. Yeah. But you know, he loves it, and it's a game for all ages. You know, obviously there's a, you know, barrier on reading, you know, because
puzzles.
Yeah, you have to, you know, I say it's a game more for like ages 8 and up. Or maybe 9 and up, because there's a little bit of mild violence.
But here's the thing. That, like, when I played Zelda when I was very young, my first Zelda, I was, like, around that age. Between 6 or 8 years old, around there. And I found that really, really tough at that time. But I still managed to figure out the puzzles, beat the bosses. And this is the time where I was not, like, hardcore gamer still. Like, I was still trying to figure out the whole gaming stuff, man.
This is like, if you've never played a Zelda title, this is a game that will make you want to go back, you know, play the original, play you know, Link's Awakening,
Link to the Past,
you know, all the Game Boy Advance games, which are great. You know, like there's so many good Zelda games, but they all kind of follow that same recipe, that same, you know.
Basically go from A to B, then to C, and like that. It's the same.
Yeah, like, you know, Zelda was in a rut a little bit, and Twilight Princess, and what was the other one? Skyrim Sword. Sky Sword, I don't remember what the hell it was called. It's forgettable. Like, that game was okay, but it was whatever. Like, those games tried to be different, but they still followed that same, you know, Zelda, you know, architect. Like it was just, it was a plan that was laid out. They kind of stuck with it. It was working. But then, like, Zelda had that rut where it wasn't good anymore. It wasn't fun anymore, you know? And the control scheme on the Wii was terrible. Like, I hated the nunchuck. So, like, that game was, I played it because I had to get through it. You know, I love Zelda, but
I just bought it. Let me just finish it.
It's a game more for fans of the franchise. This game is, it's a life changer for whoever hasn't played it, and whoever did play it, it reinvigorates your love for that game. You know, like, Zelda is by far one of the best Nintendo franchises ever, and this game kind of, it brings you back to that nostalgic feeling of, oh man, this is it. You know, this is what I play Nintendo for.
What are your thoughts of about the voice acting? I think it's really good, man. I'm not used to seeing or hearing voice actors in a Zelda game. This is like the first time we see this, you know? So to me, I think they did a pretty good job, man. They kept it Zelda. Like, they kept it Zelda style. Link stays quiet the whole time. Maybe he'll
never understood. Well, I don't think
it's fine. Leave it like that. Give other characters and also Zelda with a voice. I think they did a great job with that, man. You know,
I think everybody has a voice except Link.
Yes, Link is only. I mean, he does the typical ah, and
yeah, no, he does his grunts and moans, but like he never speaks. And I'm at the point where I'm like, hey, Nintendo, give me one line.
But that, to me, it's not Zelda if they make that happen.
Well, not Zelda. I mean Link. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's not Link.
I'm so used to him never speaking that, you know, like, I don't even know how he becomes friends with anyone. This guy saves people's lives and they treat him like he's, you know, like they've known him for years. And it's funny, man. Like, Zelda, he's matured into a, you know, that character where, you know, he doesn't have to speak for you to love him, you know. But the voice acting in the game is good. I really haven't run into too many people. Like, I've only gone to like one village where like a lot of people were talking. Other than that, I kind of learned my lesson after that boss that took me like.
I heard Zelda. Well, where am I? I heard Zelda.
I haven't even gotten to that point. Like, I want.
It's in the trailer too. You hear him.
But you know, that's the thing. I didn't really watch too many trailers of this game.
Which is good because at the same time, it's like a surprise, right?
Yeah, no, like this game caught me totally off guard. Like, I knew it was going to be good because obviously I expect a certain level of, you know, gameplay from Zelda games. You know, like, I already know what I'm expecting. And this one just totally threw me in for a loop. I was like, man, this is freaking amazing. Like, this is one of the best games I've played in a long time. And I felt like I wasn't playing a Zelda game for a while. You start running around and you look at the map and then you look at all the things to do and you're like, holy crap, is this still a Zelda? You know, like, am I still playing the same game?
And now what I've been doing is every time I discover a new place, I would like to discover and find not only shrines, but also towers. I found a lot of towers because at the end of the day, the more towers you unlock, that will help you to get to see the map too. So I've been doing that a lot. But man, let me tell you, I found one from far away. It looked very, very easy. As soon as I got to the tower, oh my God, the amount of enemies surrounding that tower was tough.
There was one tower where I thought it was just like a dirt. It was like dirt around the tower. And I'm like, all right, I can walk over there. As soon as I take two steps into it, it's mud. And I sink right into the mud and I died three times, and I'm like, you know what? Screw this tower. I mean, and the thing was, I was stuck on like a platform because I had paraglided to the tower thinking I can get there, but I fell like short, maybe like 10 feet. And I'm like, oh, let me land on this thing. Oh, maybe I could walk. Yeah. And I stayed on there. I had to teleport out of there because there was no way to jump out of there because I would keep sinking into the water. So I teleported out, but it took me about an hour just to get to that spot because I had to run over there. And I was running on the map, and I'm looking at it again. I'm like, I'm not going to make that run anymore. Like, I'm going to leave that till next week until I figure something out.
What are your thoughts, too, about stamina in the game? Because that's a game changer, too. That's a game changer for Zelda, too.
It's a little annoying.
It is annoying, but it is. But once you figure it out, it's a game changer because I figure, okay, I could climb this mountain, but let me see if I could maybe go a little bit to the right. Maybe go.
My whole thing is walk. Don't press jump or anything. Just because if you do, you take a chunk out of your stamina whenever you jump. So I walk up the wall and just pray to God that he's not gonna run out of energy. But like swimming, paragliding.
Swimming is tough in this game.
Like you can't speed up in this game. Well, you could dash, but it just takes away all your stamina.
But here's the thing. I was reading online that if you focus on upgrading your stamina instead of getting the hearts, it's a game changer in the game because you could discover more places. You could travel. You could swim. You could do a lot more things that you couldn't do in the beginning of the game.
My first upgrade was to get more hearts. And then I thought about it. I'm like, oh, you know what? Four's enough. Let me just start getting more stamina. So now I have I got an extra two bars of stamina, and it's still not enough. Like you need way more stamina to do anything in this game. Well, I mean, you can still get it done, but it's just you're gonna be taking a break every 50 steps, and
I'm trying to get that master sword, man. It's gonna be challenging to get that.
I didn't even know. Like when you told me that it requires
a certain amount of hearts.
A certain amount of hearts to get it. I thought about it, and I'm like, I'm doing the math, and I'm like, yo, it's gonna take me at least 2 months to do this. Yeah. The thing is, so people understand, the Nintendo Switch wasn't a console that I bought for myself. I bought it for my son for his birthday. So in order for me to play Zelda, I literally have to just, rush him to school, rush back home, grab the Switch, and just play as much as I can before I have to do any work or, any responsible things. So I find myself always just, waiting till the kids go to sleep so I can sneak off the Switch and just, play in the bathroom, play downstairs while I'm cooking food. It's one of those systems that you could take it's portable. It's completely portable. You know, I love playing on the TV. You know, I hook it up to the Joy-Con grip and I play on there and it feels like a classic console. And then, when I have to go somewhere, slip it right onto the tablet and I pull it off and I walk wherever I want and I can play and walk.
One last thing. Do you see yourself buying the season pass? I think I'm going to do that.
What is the season pass?
The season pass is going to have extra content. I think at the end of the year, holiday of 2017, there's going to be a brand new story too. And it's only for people that have the season pass. It's $20 but remember you'll get items every few months, they're going to have new stuff. And I think not the first time, the second DLC that's part of the season pass, there they're gonna have an extra castle and stuff. Then the last one, which is the holiday 2017, brand new story, bunch of stuff. You gotta look it up online. But I think $20 is not bad.
Yeah, no, I'll throw for something like that. I'll probably pay another $30-$40. Like this, and that's saying a lot because I don't really pay too much for download content. I don't really download too many things, especially extra content in a game. If it's not free, then peace out. You know, I'm not gonna keep shipping you money, but. If they're adding more to this game than it already has, then yeah, hell yeah, I'm gonna pay whatever you ask me. Yeah,
I'm down for a brand new story too.
I haven't even finished this story. I don't think I'm gonna finish the story by the time that comes out. Like this game is just, I hate giving games tens, but this is straight up a 10 out of 10. Like I don't think I've played a Zelda game this good in my life.
Now, this is definitely gonna be the last one because we went over big time. But there's gonna be listeners hearing this and they're gonna say, man, what's up with Danny and Nano? Why they're hyping this game so much? It's okay, I played it. Or is it worth buying a Switch? Or they're probably gonna think that we're hyping it too much because we're just excited at the moment.
You think about that, and I could say in 1 year from now, if I pick that game up again, I will thoroughly enjoy playing it. It's got longevity. It's not a game where you beat it once and you just get rid of it. You know, there's so much to do, so many quests to finish.
It's tough. Do you think
the difficulty is high.
Do you think that's a good thing or a great thing for a Zelda game?
I think it's really good. Zelda games are usually they're always pretty tough. You know, you have to think about things and kind of figure out the right way to approach certain dungeons. But this game just adds a whole nother difficulty level with stamina. You know, the size of the map, your weapons break mid battle.
And then you run out of weapons. Zero weapons.
You have zero weapons and you're just relying on bombs to shoot at people. You're pretty much just give it up, restart the game and back out and load up again. That itself, it adds way more to the game. That's already great. You know, a Zelda game is already really good. You add that to it and it's what are you complaining about?
I wish I could say some spoilers, man, because there's one part of the game. It's not part of the story. This is like random. Like you could just be walking around and you see somebody there crying, and I'm like, oh man, what's wrong? Like everything is okay. Like I thought they need like help or something. And they trick me, man. It's basically an enemy. And they're ready to attack you. I'm like, what in the world? Like, that happens a lot too in the game, man. People that you think they need help, they trick you, man.
I don't talk to anybody. I just keep it moving. I don't speak to anyone. I keep it going. That's why I haven't got too many side quests.
This is not even a side quest. This is just...
Yeah, I know, but I treat it like I'm in New York City. I'm not talking to anybody. Head straight down. I'm looking down and walking forward. Like, not giving you change. I'm not trying to give you the time. I'm going to get my stuff done, you know? Like... But like I said, everybody has a different experience, you know, like some people may hate the game when they play it, not hate it, but you know, they probably don't think it's a 10 out of 10 like we do.
Or maybe they get frustrated too. They're so hard. They're so difficult.
But that right, you can't just knock a game off because it's too hard. You know what I mean? Like this game is, it's good. Even if you're not a fan of the franchise, like there's no way you could play this game and say that it's a bad, it's not a great game. You know, it's one of those games that like, it'll convince you to be a fan if you aren't. And if you are, you'll love the franchise even more.
I think we're going to wrap it up here, man. So we're going to take a short break. And once we come back, the second segment of the show, Fan Mail. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Paris, one of our listeners called us and he has a Miss Leo prediction. I should play it right now.
Hey, darling, this is certified psychic Miss Leo. The guys at Gamertag Radio have pulled me out of retirement to give them some free readings. So I've been using the power of the tarot cards to look into the future, baby, and I've given them my predictions. You hear me?
A Gamertag, it's Devin in Scotland here. I just had a Miss Leo moment. I think Bethesda's big announcement at E3 is going to be a mobile game for Skyrim. See what happens. Thanks. Love you guys. Take care.
Paris, your thoughts about his prediction? All the way from Scotland. By the way, thanks for the call, man.
They already did it because Skyrim's coming to the Switch. So, I don't see them making just a mobile only specific version of it beyond what, like I said, they did by porting Skyrim over to the Switch. I mean, that's a lot of money making an Elder Scrolls Skyrim type game, you know, from Bethesda to say, hey, it's only going to be on the Switch. Yeah. I don't see it. So, I mean, I could see, let's just say Elder Scrolls 6 is on PS4 and Xbox One. Maybe it comes to the Switch too in some form. And there's your mobile version. Mm-hmm. That's okay. What I would say.
All right. I think they're going to concentrate more on a big, big title for PC, Xbox, and PlayStation 4, where they're going to announce it during E3. I think that they're going to focus more on that. If they do announce like a mobile app, it's something maybe to promote that type of game. Like, was it last year, 2 years ago, Fallout, and they had like a Fallout type app game too? Like just to hype the crowd up for the official game that was coming out for the systems.
Yeah, Fallout Shelter. I mean, matter of fact, you can play it on Xbox One now. It's a UWP game.
Oh yeah, they did. It came out a couple of days ago. Yeah, that's true. All right, awesome. I think at the same time we're probably gonna do some fan mail. Oh, by the way, people have been posting some questions too on our Discord channel. So remember, if you want to join our Discord channel, doesn't matter if you have a PC, Mac, or even smartphone devices, just hit us up, fanmail@gamertagradio.com, or hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, and we'll send you a link to join. All right, so here's a couple questions here, Paris. Do you guys think that a drama launch will affect by Breath of the Wild or even Horizon, and there's so many really good games being out so close to each other? Do you think that's going to affect the game's launch, the new Mass Effect game? This is from Z Dark.
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's spaced out far enough from Horizon Zero Dawn and even Zelda itself that, I mean, I don't think it's going to really hurt it sales-wise. Anyone that was interested in Mass Effect, they're probably still going to go ahead and pick it up on the 21st anyways. I mean, hell, look at Horizon Zero Dawn and Zelda. They came out within less than a week of each other, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think ultimately both are going to sell well. And I mean, Mass Effect is 3 weeks after that. So yeah, I think it'll be fine. If anything, you have to ask yourself when you pick it up, how are you gonna have time to play all, like if you try to play all three, that's insanity.
That is pretty insanity.
There's not enough time. It's just not enough time.
But I feel bad for you, Paris, because you're loving Horizon and you're loving Ghost Recon Wildlands. You haven't even touched Zelda, so I can imagine if you had that game. But now you're getting Mass Effect, so how are you going to spend your time playing all those three games at the same time, man?
I don't know.
Good luck, sir.
Yeah, that's a simple answer to that. I have no idea, because what I'm finding is, I've been playing Horizon Zero Dawn. I'm actually going to start streaming that again. I was streaming and I stopped, but Ghost Recon, basically with the guys on the Discord channel, like Pete, I just hop in when there's a crew to play with. Introducing Mass Effect into that. Hopefully I can be done with Horizon Zero Dawn by the time the 21st hits, or very close to it. And then I can kind of focus my attention more, obviously, on a Mass Effect. Then I'll still play Ghost Recon whenever there's a co-op option. But then here's the other thing. 28th, I'm going to start playing Destiny again a little bit, because I want to run through.
Oh, my God. That's another one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Paris.
Because I want to run through some. but the thing with Destiny, and I was even saying this on the Guardian One podcast. Oh, it's not like I'm going to every day jump back in. I mean, I'm going to do a few of the raids again. Like, I'm going to run my son through Vault of Glass at the appropriate light level so he can have that experience of playing it at a higher difficulty. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, I'm probably going to put it back on the shelf again. I mean, really, it's about Destiny 2 at this point. I mean, I'm really just waiting until E3 to see what Destiny 2 is going to be, more so than just investing back into Destiny again, because I still feel like I've done everything I could possibly do in that game. So I'm content with that at this point.
All right, here's another question. This is from Nick. Hello, my name is Nick from Iowa. Love what you guys do and how you do it. I have a different question than the usual questions and stuff. He says, if you guys could somehow create your own game of your choice, what genre would you pick and who would you prefer to work with? Thanks again for the great show and keep up the good work. Thanks, Nick. For me, I think I will go with, oh man, it's a lot of great developers, but I think CD Projekt Red, I would love to work with them. And probably go with the open world type game, but online. I like something similar to Phantasy Star Online, and I want to play something like that, man. But I think that there would be like my choice. Or if it's not with them, I probably would work with Nintendo, because they're the number one developers so far, in my opinion. So Paris, what about you?
So you just want to steal all my answers, you know?
No, I'm not. What do you mean? I'm stealing all your answers.
That's basically what I was going to say. I mean, developer, actually, I would think of more of a person. I would probably pick someone like Ken Levine. But I was thinking, you know, again, open world, something, co-op, shared space type. I know it sounds like a lot of Destiny, but I mean, just something along those lines. But I would put my own spin on it. I mean, that's because I'm finding the most fun that I've been having in gaming this gen is in a co-op type experience, but it's something that, you know, we're not just doing multiplayer the whole time, where we're going on missions, we're driving towards some kind of quest. That's obviously why I'm liking Ghost Recon right now, because of the co-op aspects. Obviously, that's why I like Destiny, because of the co-op aspects. So I would love to see, kind of like you're saying with CD Projekt Red, just an open world game. Doesn't have to be, you know, an old time game. Like, it could be a sci-fi setting or something like that, but do it in co-op. Mm-hmm. You know, I would love that. I think that would be great. But so, yeah, that's kind of the road I would go down. All right. So this is from Charlie, and he's saying, what's up, guys? Charles from Idaho. Been listening to you guys since about Christmas and love the show. Well, thank you. And he goes, you guys make keeping up with everything in gaming much easier. I posed this question to Paris on Facebook Live, which, again, go check out a Facebook Live stream. It's fun. My question is, as consumers, do you guys feel like we ask too much of the developers when it comes to betas, gameplay trailers, etc., prior to the launch of video games? Keep on doing what you guys are doing. Thanks. Okay. My thing on this is, I like the Bethesda model of, let's not even talk about this game until we're a few months away from launch. That way, like I've been kind of complaining, obviously, the last couple months about Mass Effect, because BioWare did such a slow drip feed of information over the past few years. And then they're kind of waiting until the last second here. All right, info dump in the last month. Boom, done. Well, if you didn't talk about Mass Effect Andromeda at all until this point, all this info dump would be even more exciting, in my opinion. Whereas we've been speculating the last couple of years, what is Mass Effect going to be? Why aren't they showing us anything? Blah, 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 blah. But if BioWare just never even acknowledged that they're working on a Mass Effect game until, like, let's say November, and then boom, we're getting all this information now, it'd be great. That's why I love what Bethesda did with Fallout 4. And that's I'm assuming they're also probably going to do with Elder Scrolls, where they're not even going to talk about it until the E3 before it comes out that holiday. So to me that's the best model. And like he's saying, are we asking too much of these developers? I don't think we have to do that. Like, again, I'll bring up Destiny 2. Think about it. It ain't like Bungie's been talking about Destiny 2. We know it exists, but we're not even going to know anything about it until E3, and then it's probably going to be out right after the summer in September. That's the kind of way I would like to see it happen with all these big games from now on. But I understand new IPs, because you can't wait until the last minute to give us an info dump. You have to market it and get information out there to get people interested about it. I understand that. So you can't have it both ways. But I think for established franchises, they can literally wait until the last minute before they even acknowledge. Like Halo 6. Don't talk about Halo 6 at E3 this year when you know it's not going to come out until probably November of 2018. Don't talk about Halo 6 until next E3. You know what I mean? And then boom, done.
But see, I think PlayStation, they are known to announce games 3-4 years before it comes out. But the thing is, Paris, you know, I think we talked about this a couple of times. You said right now that it's okay for a company to make like a Bethesda move, announce it, the game's coming out like in a month or two or a couple months, right? When the game is ready. But let's say Microsoft, you know, they've been kind of quiet. Especially this year, there's no Gears of War, no Halo games is coming out for the Xbox One. What about that? Maybe they probably will announce a game as a surprise that's coming out, boom, October or November of this year. I think that's a great move. Instead of promoting something that is coming out in 2 years or even more, you know, because I think a lot of companies, the reason why they do that, especially like the big publishers like Microsoft, Sony or Nintendo, if they do that, it's because they want to get that last minute console sales and everything, you know, for the rest of the year, and also especially for during the holidays, because people could say, oh, look, Final Fantasy is coming out or Kingdom Hearts is coming out. But that game was announced like, what, 3-4 years ago during E3, you know, so which one is the right way? Because, you know, people get all hype with Sony and everything. So thoughts?
Well, that's what I just said. I understand that you can't have it both ways. Some scenarios, you need to announce games early, but more established games, I don't think there's a need anymore. You know, I don't think like Sony showing off God of War last year, but God of War, we probably don't see until holiday 2018, right?
Yeah.
Don't talk about it so early. I didn't have to have that. You know what I mean? You could wait until next E3 to show God of War, and then like, oh, by the way, it's out in November, and everyone goes bananas. You know, like the fact that Sony showed off The Last of Us 2 at PlayStation Experience in 2016, and that game probably doesn't see the light of day until 2019, 2020. It's like, hey, come on, man. I don't need to know about that. Even like Red Dead Redemption is another one that the fact that, and we talked about this on the podcast, that they teased it last year, but it's not going to come out until the end of this year. It's like, really, really, Rockstar, I didn't need to know this. Y'all could have waited.
Yeah,
that's kind of how I see it. So, but in a way,
it's our fault too, man, because we get into this whole hype and we're the first ones buying the console, or we start like this like fanboy war, whatever. Like, I think it's our fault too for falling to this little trick that all these companies do, man, when they announce the game, man. We got to be smarter than that, I think, as a consumer.
No, I agree. So on our Discord channel, someone asked, why is Paris so salty? You'd be salty too if you're 43 years old and you're from St. Petersburg, Florida. That's why I'm so salty. I mean, obviously I joke around.
It's all jokes.
And people disagree because I speak my opinion. I'm very matter of fact with my opinion. Some people that rubs them the wrong way. But hey, I am who I am. I wouldn't be me if I didn't do that. So there you go.
All right, on that note, we're going to finish here. Continue sending questions. Continue calling our voicemails or go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio and send us questions over there. Go to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, until next time, we are out. Peace.
Listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.